encourage yourself. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You know, sometimes when we're all alone, we can be in a room of 1,000, but we feel so all alone. But you know, we thank God that if we have the word dwelling down within us, we can encourage ourselves. That's the kind of God we serve. We can encourage ourselves. Sister Tony, I don't know if you've been where I've been, but there's been times that I felt locked up. Matter of fact, I was locked up. Oh, hallelujah! But I want to tell you this one thing before I go into the message. But thus says the Lord today, that even when you're locked up, I mean physically locked up, if you have Christ in your life, you can encourage yourself. My brothers and sisters, you can encourage yourself. Now that's something you can shout about right there. We can have the benediction right there. We can encourage ourselves if we have Christ in our life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Abba, Father, I come now in the name of Jesus, my Lord and Savior, asking you, Lord, to speak through me, what you will have me to give your people, what you will have me to say this day. Father God, thanking you that we can declare this day that the game is over. Living a life of chance and come to the realization that we can choose to spend eternity with you. Amen, amen, and amen. Ushers, you may take your seats. Church, here to make an announcement today. We serving Satan notice today. You know, we don't hardly ever hear a message spoken directly to him, but we're going to step out boldly under the auspices of the Holy Spirit and serve Satan notice today that the game is over. Satan, the game is over. Not only that, Satan, but guess what? We are going to prepare for the battle. Because, you know, once you take sides and walk away from Satan and his games that he plays, don't think he's going to sit on the sideline and clap. No, he's going to get upset. So that's why we have to prepare for the battle. You know, during this season, the Olympics are going on, and those of you who are in the sports, you've been keeping up with the Olympic, and those that are playing and competing in the various events, they've trained and trained and trained. Some has had visions and desires when they were children that one day they would be where they are now. I don't know how long this events will go on, speaking of the Olympics. But I do know in the coming days that the events will end and someone is going to say the game is over. Such is it with life, my sisters and brothers. I've heard it said that life is just a game. Sometime we win and sometime we lose. Now, I don't know about you this morning, but I have a purpose. I purposed in my mind and in my heart that I'm going to win. Matter of fact, it's not that I'm going to win. I've already won. Because you see, hey, the day that I made up in my mind and I surrendered, that was the day that I won. Hallelujah. As in the Olympics, the contestants, they have rules. They have guidelines. They have coaches to train them. and prepare them for their chosen events. Church, today's message will enlighten you that when we prepare in our hearts to turn from living a life of sin, whose coach is Satan, and declare we are changing coaches, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we're telling Satan, with him, the game is over. I keep saying this because I want him to get this message today, hey, that the game is over. Now, I don't know if I'm speaking for everybody out here, but I can speak for myself that the game is over. And before you leave here today, if you aren't sure in your mind and in your heart that you can say the same thing, I behoove you not to leave here when Reverend Allen has the altar call. I beg of you, don't leave here if you can't declare to Satan and tell him, hey, buddy, the game is over. Because I'm going to tell you something, my sisters and brothers in Christ. There used to be a time that we could say, here today and gone tomorrow. As we near the end times, it seems that we can say, here today, gone today. Am I not right? He's calling us, as the song says, one by one, and no man knoweth the hour. You know, thank you, Holy Spirit. You know, we have a tendency to get hung up on the end times. The Holy Spirit showed me some years ago that it really doesn't matter about the end times. The end times could be 1,000 years from now. Although we're living in a season and a time that's given us an inkling that we are in the last days, we're seeing times that's coming out of the Word that's showing us and telling us, look at the news, listen, read the paper, listen to conversations, even between unbelievers. Check this out. Between unbelievers, they thinking about something going on here. They coming to us Christian folks, the ones they used to call crazy. What's going on? You know, it's snowing up here, and it's earthquakes in Alaska. Tell them to read the Word. It's in here. Yeah, it's in here. I can't go to the scripture, but it's in here. Yeah. As we continue in today's message, as I was saying, the coaches would train these people that are in the Olympics, preparing them for their chosen events. Today, church, this message is to enlighten you that, again, that when we purpose in our hearts to turn from living a life of sin, who, again, I said the coach is Satan, and declare that we are changing coaches. Hey, and that coach is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? And he's not way up yonder, way over yonder. He's right here. Hallelujah. That's the great part. He's right here. Revelation tells us that. Yeah, Revelation tells us that. He makes himself available to us, Sister Tony, where it says, behold, I stand at the door. Hey, so he must not be far, right? Come on, Holy Ghost. Hey, tell it, Holy Ghost. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. We are telling Satan that with him the game is over, and thus the battle begins. The scripture for today that's coming from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18, which went on over into 10:20, because I love it where at the end when Paul is in prison and he's asking the saints to pray for him. I've been there. I've been in a prison in my mind. Some of you have been in a prison in your mind. And because somebody prayed for us, we're free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that's why the last part, verses 19 and 20, really, I took that personal. Amen? Amen. We see here that Paul's letter to the believers, we'll notice that Paul's letter to the believers didn't say that some battles we have to fight. For the word of God tells us the battle is not ours, but the Lord's. You see, Paul, he was getting us ready as he was getting the Ephesians ready and reminding them that because of whose side they were on, Paul was preaching to the saints in the sixth chapter of Ephesians. And he was reminding him when he said, finally, I was studying for the message today. I got kind of stuck on that word, finally. He was saying, in conclusion, he wanted that to stick. In conclusion, you need to be ready for the battle because it ain't over. And saints, I want to tell you this, and my brothers and sisters in Christ, the battle's not over just because we give our life to Christ. But the good news is we don't have to fight the battle because the word says the battle is not yours, making it personal, ours. It is the Lord's. Amen? Went on to say that the very words, these very words were spoken in 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter, by King Jehoshaphat. Also in the 37th chapter, the second verse of Chronicles, by King Hezekiah, when he encouraged his warriors, telling them that the Lord, their God, would not only help them fight the battle, but he would help them win it. He would win it for them. Now, that's the kind of God we serve. He won't only help us. He'll take care of it. Yeah, yeah, he's just that powerful. He'll take care of it. And the same God that fought their battles is the same God we as Christians serve today. My brothers and sisters in Christ, we have been given a command to be strong in the Lord and in the power, in the mighty power, not in our power. For me, I don't know about you, but I'm powerless when it comes to battling the wiles of the devil. But with the Holy Spirit, the word says we can do all things. It's not us doing it. It's him doing it through us. Can I get an amen? It's him. It's all him. I can't take the credit. I'm reminded of the story of David and Goliath in the 17th chapter of the book of 1 Samuel. You know, David was anointed. He was anointed for that battle with Goliath. Yeah, he couldn't have gone out on his own strength. David was a little thing. And you know, here was this army. They were hiding and probably pushing the other one out. You go get him. You know, they got all this armor and stuff on. You go get him. You know, and here little David is. Hey, here I am. I'll go. Sit down, David. You go back out there and tending them sheep or goats or whatever you're taking care of. But you see, when God's anoints you to do something, the devil in hell can't stop you. Do you hear what I say? I don't care what man say. I don't care what anybody say. When God calls you and he anoints you, he not only calls you and anoints you, but he directs you. And he gives you that unction to go forth, that Holy Ghost boldness. You don't let nobody talk you out of it. And that's what David did. He was persistent. He wasn't being hard-headed or disobedient. But he knew God had called him. He had chosen him. He had anointed him for such a time as that. An old big bad Goliath, he thought David was a joke, you know, sending this little pea head out here. What are you gonna do? Hey, I'm Goliath, you know. And that's how Satan is, y'all. You know, he roars up his head. And if you aren't equipped and if you aren't anointed, he's a Goliath in your lives. But when you can look through spiritual eyes, you can see and you can say, I'm more than a conqueror. That I'm more than a conqueror. Satan don't faze you because of who's in you. Not who you are, but whose you are. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. David knew in his heart and in his mind that when he went out to slay Goliath, that it wasn't in his power, but it was in the Lord's. That the battle was not his, but the battle was the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. Brothers and sisters, there's one thing about this thing. We are assured victory. Matter of fact, we're guaranteed victory in our lives if we just step back and let the Lord fight our battles. Just step back and let him fight our battles. You know, when we do that, that saying ties in with the lesson this morning. Lord, I have faith. I have faith in your word that you'll do what it's saying. You know, I thank God that I'm married to a saved man, and I'm boasting in the Lord. We are fans of Joyce Meyer. I don't know if you all know who Joyce Myers is. And we've said, and when we're watching her, I said, Leroy, I'm Joyce. And you're David. Because David, he always so calm. And Joyce would tell us, you know, they've been married umpteen years, you know. And Joyce would say how in their early years of marriage, they would have bills coming in and the children were getting on the nerves. And she would be at the coffee at the table in the kitchen trying to make the bills match up with the paycheck, and it just wouldn't add up. And here David is in the living room watching TV all relaxed. And she coming in there looking at him, getting madder and madder. Don't you see all these bills we got and we don't got the money? How can you chill like this? And that's Leroy. He just, Leroy, how are we going to do this? How are we going? Mary, we prayed about it. Yeah, we prayed about it, but what else? You know? Hey, I ain't shame now. I ain't shame. My faith get weak sometime. Y'all can sit out there and act like y'all are holy, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. And your faith never get weak. Well, Lord, I'm being transparent in this area, Sister Bay. In this area. Sometimes my spirit get a little weak, but I thank God I got a strong man. Strong in the Lord. I'm boasting in the Lord that I can go to him and say, Leroy, this is troubling me, you know. We've been through some things together. We've been through some things. And I thank God that he's always been there where I could lean on him because the faith that he has. I mean, some of us have to ask for that measure of faith. I thank God gave him mine and his. But again, I thank God for him. Amen? Back on now, we're going where Paul goes on to tell us how to dress for this battle. Because we know that now we're in a battle if we've told Satan that we're out of his game, that the game is over with him. Paul tells us to put on the armor of God, not our armor, but God's armor. He wants us clothed in the power of the Holy Spirit. He wants us to adorn the belt of truth. The belt of truth dispels the lies of Satan. Because he's going to show mess with our mind now. Yeah, he's going to tell us some big lies once we walk away from him. trying to con us back to him, trying to make the things that we walked away from look good. But we know he's lying. We got that belt of truth around us. He wants us to adorn ourselves with the breastplate of righteousness, letting Satan know that we are in right standing, not because of our righteousness, but because of the God we serve. We are made righteous through the precious blood of Jesus. The only way we could be made righteous is through his precious blood of Jesus. We need to adorn our feet with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. You see, when the shoes are issued for fighting, Paul tells us, saying that we don't need to go out barefooted, in other words, paraphrasing here. Because, you know, if you go out barefooted, check this out, picture this, go here with me in your mind. You're going out to battle. You dressed up so far with the breastplate, with the belt. Now you're getting down to the shoes. Now, you know, that's kind of heavy, right, physically wise. But you go out without your shoes, Reverend Allen. Going out on the battlefield without shoes. And don't you know, Satan set in all kind of traps. Here we are barefooted, walking. Look at all that glass. Look at them rocks. Oh, man. Sooner or later, your feet gonna get sore. How you gonna go and tell somebody about the goodness of Jesus? Feet hurting. Y'all, because I don't wear stilettos. But you women that wear stilettos, y'all can identify with this thing. Yeah, feet start hurting. You don't feel like telling the gospel. You don't feel like doing nothing really but sitting down. But praise God, on a serious note, he wants us to adorn ourselves with our... He wants us to step out and adorn ourselves, fitting our shoes on, going about our Father's business, spreading the gospel of peace. Now we're almost through dressing. Let's wrap this up. He tells us to take on the shield of faith. Saints, we need to be obedient when it comes to taking on the shield of faith. He wants us to pick it up. Pick it up. Don't just get it and kind of lay it there. He wants us to pick it up, the shield of faith. Because the devil, as I told you earlier, is upset. He's upset because, again, we changed coaches when we made Jesus our Lord and Savior. And then Paul goes on to tell us to put on the helmet of salvation. Now, saints, we really need to put on the helmet of salvation. Because if Satan won't mess with your mind, as the old folks used to say, grits ain't groceries. He will shoot all kind of negative thoughts into your mind. I mean, 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning. It's like his little imps will wake you up, Evangelist Wheeler. Wake you up. So-and-so-and-so-and-so. You're trying to go back to sleep. So-and-so-and-so. Till he gets you fully awake. Then he start messing with that mind with evil thoughts. Evil thoughts. Things you wouldn't even think about. See, I can speak on this because I've been there. Thank God I'm being delivered. Being delivered. Hallelujah. Being. We are being delivered. Because the more and more that we study the word, the more and more we're putting on that helmet. Amen? Saints, as I said, we need to keep the helmet to keep us thinking straight in midst of all the confusion, the disaster, and the terror that surrounds us daily. We need the helmet of salvation to block out the lies of Satan that he attempts to make us doubt even our salvation, to doubt our new birth in Christ. Father, we thank you. We have the sword of the Spirit. Now, that goes with that helmet of salvation. So whether the spirit is the word of God, Satan definitely don't have a match for the word. If Satan can keep us from filling our minds with the word of God, we are a defeated foe. If you don't hear anything else or remember anything else I have said today, it's most imperative that we read the word of God, because it's the word that is going to keep us. It's the word. I don't care how much we sing, how many times we come to church, Bible study, oh, this is good, because the word says forsake not the gathering of the saints, fellowship of the saints. So I'm not knocking that. Don't get me wrong. Don't go and tell pastor, well, Evangelist John said we don't have to come to Bible study because all we got to do is read the word. No, I didn't say that. I'm saying that the word is what is going to keep us. And God, thank you, Holy Spirit, he wants us to read the word for ourselves. The word says to study thyself, to show thyself approved. Thyself approved, a workman that need not be ashamed. So he's telling us that we need to study the word, plant it in our hearts and in our minds. Amen. My sisters and brothers, as I was saying, if Satan can keep us from filling our minds with the word of God, we're defeated for. We are defeated for. And that's why we need to study the word of God daily. Again, my sisters and brothers, when we have come to the end of ourselves and realize that we are in evil days, but we are in Christ, and that we have been adorned in the armor of God, that then we can do as Paul has instructed in the 13th verse, we can stand. And after we've done all, we can stand, not in our own power, not in our own power, but in the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you. Church, we're going to pray for one another. We should intercede not only for the saved, but those who have yet to make Christ their personal Lord and Savior. Father, we thank you, and I know I thank you that somebody prayed for me. We're living in perilous times. We see the end times are approaching, as I said earlier, to things that are happening around us. Christ could crack the sky any day now. Everything has been fulfilled in his word. Nothing holding him back but his mercy and grace. Because he don't want any of us to be lost. Every prophecy has been fulfilled in this word. So again, I say, he can come back. He can come back right this moment. Right this moment. And as I was saying earlier, don't be concerned about when the end times are coming. It could be 1,000 years from now. But you know, when my mother's end time was, when she closed her eyes, July 5th, 2010, that was her end time. So it doesn't matter to mama, she's sitting up there now looking down at me saying, go girl, because her prayers is the one that got me standing here right now, hallelujah. Amen. Her prayers. I was going to hell having fun. I ain't going to lie to you. On my way to hell having a ball. But my mother, hallelujah, she prayed for me. And I'm saying that to say this. Get your mind off of the end times. Don't let Satan fool you and tell you that you got plenty of times. Because again, I say, tomorrow is not promised to any of us. And you see, I've been begging for souls since I was 3 or 4 years old. Brother Eric, I used to wake up in the morning times, like 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning, and I would be crying, and I would say, Mama, I wish everybody in the world could die at one time and we all go to heaven. I had no concept of hell. I was a little girl. But there was something in me that I wanted everybody to go to heaven. And as I became older, the kids I played with in the neighborhood, their parents didn't take them to church. I would tell them, hey, if y'all come go to Sunday school with me, I'll buy y'all some candy. We'll stop by the Don Q, which was a little country store. And I figured if I got them to go to Sunday school long enough, eventually they'll have the desire and I could keep my money in my pocket. And finally they would come, you know, start coming to church, you know, getting fed. But I really want to put strong emphasis on, let's not focus on this end time. Because, yeah, it's coming. You can take that to the bank. It's coming. But we need to make this thing personal. Is my end time this very second when I could just, right here in front of all y'all, we're going to still go on, until the Father cracks the sky. So, in closing, my sisters and brothers, I have some good news to share with you today. Our Lord and Savior, He won the battle. You don't have to be afraid to tell Satan the game is over. You don't have to be afraid. Hallelujah. You can take that bold stand and tell him this day, Satan, the game is over. I'm tired of living in a world of sin. I'm tired of carrying around hatred in my heart. I'm tired of, I'm just tired. I'm just sick and tired of being sick and tired of living in sin. Hey! You know, there should come a time in our lives, those of us who aren't saved, that you just say, Lord, if you're for real, make a change in me. Because we can't do it on ourselves. No matter how hard we try, we can't do it on ourselves. We can't do it for ourselves. But I'm here to tell you, my brothers and sisters, I know a man who can. He can change you, not from the outside in, but he changes you from the inside out. And not only does he change you, when he changes you, and you say, Lord, come into my life to be my personal Savior, he fills you. He fills you with a part of himself. And that part of himself is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that will keep you. The Holy Spirit that will take that desire from you to sin. The Holy Spirit that will make you want to do right. The Holy Spirit that will make you want to tell somebody that Jesus loves you. The Holy Spirit that will wake you up in the morning, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, to pray for somebody that you don't even know about, Brother Derek. The Holy Spirit that will put you on the right track and will keep you until the coming of the Lord. Who wouldn't serve a God like this? My word, the word of God says a fool, because the word of God said, whoever says that there is no God is a fool in his heart. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you today. We thank you for your word today, Father. We thank you for using your servant, Lord Jesus. Father, we just thank you. We praise you, Lord. We thank you. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. We give you all the praise. Thank you. Thank you.
we have heard words of God. I just want to ask you a question. Are you preparing for the battle? And then if you can answer that question, we will ask you to stand. If you can answer that question and say that you are preparing, we want you to be bold enough to stand up and tell everybody that you are preparing for the battle and you're on God's side. But if you cannot answer that question in the affirmative, we want you to